And that was Montana. This is a success story that you like to celebrate, right? The Red Ants Pants. It's a clothing company. Don't forget that. And that's where it all started. And we'll talk about that too. Red Ants Pants clothing. That led to the Red Ants Pants Music Festival. And now that's celebrating a 15th anniversary this year. And this is a top-notch, a destination. This makes White Sulphur Springs, in the middle of Montana nowhere, a destination site for music lovers. And then the Red Ants Pants Foundation. That is doing great work in your communities. It's helping young women in agriculture. Sarah Calhoun. Yeah, she's behind it all. She joins us here today on Voices of Montana. And one of the headliners for Sunday night, a legend. This is not a stretch of the imagination. He is a country music bluegrass legend. Ricky Skaggs will join us today on Voices Montana.
I'm just a country boy, country boy at heart.
He's good. He sings his heart out. He plays his heart out. Everybody around him plays their heart out as well. Really good headliner. That's Sunday night. Let's welcome our first guest, though, and our main cohort throughout the program. Sarah Calhoun is joining us, who's the founder of the Red Ants Pants Clothing Company, the music festival, and the foundation. And what else are you founding, by the way, Sarah? What's going on in your world?
Great question, Tom, and good morning. Yeah, trying to keep it to just that, a festival, a foundation, and a pants company.
that's good. That's I think if there was, friends around you would say, hey, Sarah, no, we don't need another SpaceX, right? Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's just have right. Hey, thanks for coming on. Thanks for getting Ricky lined up. Big props to Kathy for working on that as well. That'll be fun here in just a little bit. But let's get into this 15th anniversary of this festival. And I know the simple question is, when you started this clothing company, and we'll talk about that too, because I mean, that's where it all started. But did you imagine when you started this festival that 15 years later, it's a destination site in White Sulphur Springs?
No, I sure didn't.
Right.
It's hard to believe 15 years have gone by.
So how did you make it so then? How did it happen that way?
Yeah, I think, as you were saying, the pants company started it all back in, we started the Workwear for Women company in 2006, making heavy duty work pants so we can get the hard work done. And after about 5 years in business, started this music festival to try to brand the pants company, and then realizing that music has a pretty powerful tool to bring people together and to celebrate, and decided to launch this in a cow pasture, right? And it's been a lot of hard work and community support and a lot of people pitching in. It's like a classic barn raising where everyone works really hard to pull it off, because it is a big feat to make this all happen in a cow pasture, as you know. It's
Wow.
A lot of infrastructure and logistics and site work, and then the fans happen to come in and show their support and enjoy some fantastic live music.
Yeah, and over the years, like I say, you've just added more and more to the lineup, so to speak. Talk about that. Talk about the response that you have gotten, over the years again with this festival, and how you feel about it being so endearing to so many people across Montana.
Yeah, it means a lot to us for sure. It is a labor of love and hard work and tight budgets and trying to pull it off. So it really means a lot when people keep showing up, and we have so many fans that have been here every single year. They haven't missed a festival. So that's really, really wonderful to see. And I think they certainly appreciate the rural and accessible and affordable feel of it. And we try to continue the connection piece with good neighboring and making it a safe place for everyone and family friendly. And so folks keep coming back. We have, a huge campground right on site, so folks can bring their campers or RVs or sheep wagons or whatever they want over and camp right there all for 4 or 5 nights, even for a very affordable rate of $55 for 5 nights of camping.
Yeah.
So, we try to maintain that. And I think a lot of our rural neighbors appreciate it.
Well, and that makes it accessible. And that's one of the things that you've wanted to do with this as well. That money though goes to the foundation. Right? A lot of it does. Talk about how important that is as well.
Yeah. So when we started this in 2011, really didn't know what I was getting into as far as event production, but pulled it off barely that first year and have just been improving it ever since. And there's a phenomenal team of 115 staff and 250 volunteers and so much community support from our county and beyond. And in doing so, you know, back, at least back in the day, they used to be able to make a little money off music events, before the whole state did get quite saturated with music right now, which is great. There's live music everywhere. And if we can make any money off this event, all of it goes to the Red Ants Fans Foundation. So the festival is a program of the foundation, our nonprofit, which is in support of women's leadership, working family farms and ranches, and enriching rural communities. So we use all the proceeds from the festival to give away to our grant program every year, which we've gifted over $210,000 to different, over 150 rural communities across the state, to help enrich their small towns.
Yeah, and I remember chatting a little while ago about that. It was focused on the foundation and those grants being handed out and what they were on the ground accomplishing in those small communities. And, and this is what you say, that rural communities aren't dying, they're evolving. What do you see? What do you see rural America evolving into?
I personally see it as a wonderful place to live and to stay in agriculture. And I think it's a thriving spot for small businesses. And the quality of life is fantastic. The cost of living is often more affordable. We're seeing a lot of younger folks returning to small town Montana, which I think is fantastic. And whether they're taking over the ranch or the farm or starting their own restaurant or brewery or retail shop or whatnot. It's there's so much potential in my mind, and I think other folks are catching on to that for sure. And we see a lot of volunteerism across rural Montana, which is pretty exceptional. And I think any of us involved in small town civic organizations see that. There's a lot of folks pitching in. So I think a lot of things are possible in these rural parts.
There's a lot that gets accomplished and encouraged, as you noted, those missions behind the foundation. But, you know, having the young folks returning to rural America, we see that in Montana, and it's kind of a movement around. But I don't know that there's large enough numbers for the urban population to take note of that. But what does that represent? Mm-hmm. What does that represent that you see more people, and maybe it's just getting away from the rat race for a little bit and getting into a dog race, so to speak, whatever it is, it's still a race.
It is a race. I'm not sure exactly what it represents, but I think like the things I'm seeing and through our girls leadership program, where we're really trying to instill hope for our youth and pride in our rural communities. And that element, the pride piece, is an important one, I think. And, being proud of where we come from and wanting to move back. And I think the values of small town Montana with really strong work ethic and self-reliance. And I mean, it's just the reality of how isolated these small towns tend to be, that we have to rely on ourselves and our neighbors just to get by and to make it through whatever it is that's coming, you know, because we're the only ones there. So I think there's some core values there that show up with our character in small towns. And I think that translates to, you know, small business leadership and agricultural too in many ways. So.
Yeah, you know, and I think that work ethic and those values are represented in the artists that you have on stage as well. Old 97s, Molly Tuttle, Shiny Ribs, Brandy Clark. Hey, folks, it's Red Ants Pants Music Festival.com. Go and look at the lineup. And I should note, it is Thursday, the street dance in White Sulphur Springs. That's free. And that's turned into a pretty darn good whopping time, hasn't it, Sarah?
Yes, there's about 1,200 people downtown White Sulphur. We close off Main Street and have spring dance lessons and then roll into a couple bands for a fantastic classical street dance.
Ricky Skaggs, he's going to be, and thank you for lining that up. I mentioned that earlier, going to be joining us here in just a little bit. He's headlining Sunday evening. Sarah Evans, and it's not Sunday evening. The festival kind of wraps up Sunday, July 23rd through the 26th. But 3 p.m. for Sarah, and then I think it was 5 p.m. for Ricky. Talk about getting these acts lined up and just walking in that arena, so to speak.
Yeah, that was a steep learning curve to figure out how to book talent. And I do all the booking myself, and it is an honor to be able to do so. But certainly a puzzle trying to get the right balance of different types of musicians and diversity in the lineup, whether it's genre or gender or that sort of thing. And also, of course, working on their schedules and where they're routed and when you can actually fit into their tour schedules. So It is a big puzzle and really a fun one that I start literally August right after the festival closes. So it's a year-long process, and we're really, really excited to bring in Ricky and Molly and Shiny Ribs and Sarah, and it's gonna be a good one this year. And I'm always trying to make it so the artists are such that locals in White Sulphur and rural Montana really appreciate some of these classic country and bluegrass artists, as well as some up-and-coming Americana folks that are and singer-songwriters that are really going to be hot right now and bring in some of our ticket buyers from, you know, Bozeman and Helena and Missoula and Billings and whatnot.
Yeah, and you do that on two stages. Do you also schedule the B stage?
Yes. Yep. We actually have an online application for that stage for emerging artists to come on board. And then we have a crew of us that do select the side stage artists that come on. And of course the crowd votes for their favorite side stage band, and the winner of which gets to play a slot on the main stage the following summer.
Yeah, that's so cool. There's much more to talk about here too surrounding this, but I want to get into this break early because we're understanding that Ricky should be calling us here, and I want to just make sure we're ready to go when he's on. And, you know, it's... I can't, 15-time Grammy winner, right? Gosh. So I've seen him, and he is a down-home country boy. He certainly is, too. But it'll be a pleasure to chat with him. He's got a new song out he'll want to talk about. So, all right, welcome back from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. We're talking about the Red Ants Pants Music Festival upcoming here July 23rd through the 26th. Headliner on Sunday is this guy, 15-time Grammy winner, Ricky Skaggs. What an artist. We're going to play one of his new songs here today in a little bit. Sarah Calhoun is with us, who's founder of the Red Ants Pants Clothing Company, Music Festival, and Foundation. She's not currently working on a Red Ants Pants space rocket, but she might at some time down the road, Sarah. And I'll help you with that, okay? And then let's welcome a special guest here, headlining on Sunday at the Music Festival. It is a legend in both country music and bluegrass. It's Ricky Skaggs. Mr. Skaggs, Ricky Skaggs, how are you, sir?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
I think we're doing good. We're excited about the festival. We're super excited to have you come alongside. And I don't know if you've met Sarah Calhoun yet, but she's a firecracker. Yeah, you'll get a chance here at the music festival. Ricky, thank you again for being on. Sarah, you want to say hello?
Good morning, Ricky. We're excited to have you.
Well, we're looking forward to coming out and playing for you.
It's been
a long time since we've got to play in Montana, so it's going to be great.
Well, great. You've been here before then, huh?
I have. Yeah, we've played Bozeman, and we've played the university there, and we've... I've been playing a long time, so I've been just about all 50 states, I think.
and sir, you have. I mean, you go back to like the early 80s as well, and I've got a list of songs here too. We'll talk about your new song, "Say a Prayer," because there's a message in there for us. But let me ask you this question: How are you doing that? How are you still managing to play at such a high level? And again, Kentucky Thunder, you've got great artists around you. What still drives you, Ricky?
Well, I feel like, you know, I have purpose, you know. I mean, even the message in the song, "Say a Prayer," you mentioned that one. I mean, someone coming out to a country music show or a bluegrass show and they're not thinking maybe that they're going to hear a message about prayer, but prayer is something that's not religious. You know, you don't have to be a religious person, you know, per se, to pray. You know, I feel like that is one of the purposes that I have, but, you know, trying to inspire and raise up young musicians. Now, Mr. Ricky, you know, old Mr. Ricky, you know, show me how you did this, you know, kind of thing. So, that's a joy to me in my life. It's because with all the different bands that I've had through the years, I mean, I've got two guys that was in my band that's in Dirk Bentley's band. He we've been out with him. quite a bit this year, and still got a few more dates to play. I'm on the bus in case you hear this motor running in the background. Yeah, we're on our way to New Hampshire, so got about 20-hour ride today. But anyway, we're just excited about music, and I love seeing people's reactions, you know, to the band Kentucky Thunder, and because I always feature them, you know, when we're doing our especially our bluegrass shows a little bit more. This one will be all country. That's what Phil Sarah wanted and the folks wanted. So we're gonna do that, and so we're looking forward to it.
Sarah, go ahead and weigh in here. You want to ask Ricky a question?
Yeah, well, thank you, Ricky. We're so excited. And I don't know if you've been through White Sulphur Springs before or not. I'm guessing possibly not. It's a tiny little ranching town, about 900 people, about an hour and a half north of Bozeman. Very conservative, classic old cow town, and a lot of agriculture around, which is really fun. And so we have this festival in a working cow pasture, which is exciting. So
that's great.
Wanted to see what you're looking for.
I'll be careful where I'll walk.
Yeah, exactly. We do fill in all the gopher holes, so and all the cow patties.
I'll talk about the cow pies.
Yeah. But yeah, just curious what you're looking forward to about coming to rural Montana.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I mean, that is such a American, you know, full-blown American town. I used to go up to up in the northeastern part of Montana. Some friends of mine that live in Boone, North Carolina, they have some farmland up there, some hunting preserves up there, and I've gone up and done some elk hunting and done a lot of pheasant hunting up there as well. And but that's probably been 15 years ago since I've got to do that. So I'm really looking forward to coming back to Montana. It's always a beautiful place, and people are so friendly and so kind there. It reminds me a lot of Kentucky, where I was raised.
Ah. Yep, absolutely. I think you'll find that here, too. Very, very welcoming, and a lot of good neighboring going on, for sure.
That's good.
And everyone here, including the landowners, the Jackson Ranch, they just lend us their ranch to put on this festival, and they are over the moon that you're coming. So really excited to have you.
It's always good to know that people are anxiously awaiting your arrival. So it's good.
Do you get a chance
hopefully to? They won't be throwing rocks by the time we leave. I hope not.
Yeah, no, there's cow pies around, but hopefully they won't make them handy.
Do you get you can see those coming a little better.
You sound like
the way they sail, and I think a frisbee probably was invented out of a cow pie. If you think about it,
yeah.
All that experience showing. Ricky Skaggs is with us here again, 15-time Grammy winner. Number one songs like Heartbroke, Cry My Heart Over You. Don't cheat in our hometown. Say a prayer. I'm going to talk about this one a little bit, Ricky. I see a turning of man from God. This is Ricky's lyrics here. And the devil holding the door. I see a people playing the odds and the Holy One ignored. I see corruption and moral decay. I see a lost little girl, a once mighty nation, losing her way. I see a hole left in the world. Say a prayer. Say a prayer. Well, as long as your fingers are crossed, say a prayer. As long as there's somebody lost, say a prayer. That's verse number one. Artists, they hope their work makes an impact or leaves an impression. What are your hopes behind this song, Ricky?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind, as a Christian, I believe, you know, very strongly in prayer, as our Savior did that. You know, but also, I just feel like the world is churning. You know, and there's a lot going on, unrest in a lot of places, and obviously, you know, it's been that way for since the beginning of time, I guess. But I think there's a lot of hurting people, you know, a lot of lost people, you know, whether they're lost in their faith or just lost, you know, in their mind, you know. And so it's, I think it's just a, it's almost an anthem, you know, to we see people, you know, singing it in the audience, you know. I mean, it's only been out a couple of weeks now, brand new single, and but we're seeing people starting to sing it, you know, in the audience, and that's, you know, especially the chorus, you know, it's a very, very sing-along kind of song, but it's more than just, you know, a sing-along. It's something to just have a daily reminder that we need to pray. We need to ask God to, you know, to help our leaders and help our nations, and so it's, you know, and help our neighbors, you know, and our families, because they're hurting. You know, I've got a lot of family members that are really hurting right now, you know, and so extra prayers going up for them. So anyway, we're just hoping people will like it, and it's a little different, you know, than my bluegrass stuff, but it was something I recorded a few years back and just kind of been holding on to it, waiting to release it. But I feel like now is the right time to release it for sure.
Thank you for that. And I can appreciate the power of music in accomplishing those things. And it's subtle in a lot of ways, but sometimes it has to be bold as well. So let me ask you this, a couple of quick questions here. I know I appreciate your time, and I know I've only got like 2 minutes left here as well. What are some of your favorite songs? What are you going to play on Sunday?
Well, you know, we are going to be playing Heartbroke, Honey Open That Door. People love that one still. And Cajun Moon is always a favorite, you know. Okay. Uncle Pen, Highway 40 Blues, Wouldn't Change You If I Could, Crying My Heart Out Over You. We'll be doing those, and but we've probably got some album cuts that the band loves to play, things like Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line. I got to record that with Waylon Jennings. Mm-hmm. I just called him up. I got a number on him. He'd given me his phone number because we'd met years ago when I was with Emmy Lou, and so when I put my band together and started recording music in Nashville, I would see him from time to time. And but anyway, I called him up and asked him if he would come in, sing on one of his songs that I had just recorded, and he agreed to it, you know. Nice. So we've been doing it some on the Dierks Bentley show too. Dierks really likes that version that we did. And
Ricky, so, we're out of time, sir. Well, I hate to say that, clock on the wall. I know you got to run. We've got a hard break here. I look forward to chatting with you and listening to your music, not just at the Red Ants Pants Festival, but anytime I want. Thank you for what you do, Ricky, so much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you, Sarah.
Yep, see you soon.
I didn't know Tom could speak Spanish or play the accordion. Okay, you know who this is? I'm not sure I got the name right. It's Yison Landero. Right. The well-known Colombian accordion master. Right. 6:30 p.m. main stage, Saturday, July 25th. At the Red Ants Pants Music Festival. Sarah Calhoun joins us. Welcome back here to Voices of Montana. Good to have you listening along in Great Falls at KQDI. Love my friends there, 1450 AM. Also all around in Kalispell, KOFI 1180 AM. Hope to see you folks in those areas at White Sulphur Springs here for the music festivals, 23rd through the 26th of this month. Sarah Calhoun, Red Ants Pants founder, music festival founder, clothing company founder, foundation founder as well. And she books all the acts. So you know how to say this guy's name, I would presume, Sarah, the Colombian accordion master.
Yes.
How, is it Yeeson?
Yeah, it's Yeeson Landero. Yes. Fantastic. Colombia player from Colombia. Yeah, his grandfather, or his father was the actual grandfather of cumbia music. So it's going to be quite a treat to have them in our cow pasture.
Isn't that cool where... You know your audience a little bit, right? You know, grassroots kind of people, but you'll also introduce them to something like this. Every festival lineup that I have seen, and you go back 15 years, congratulations on that, has somebody like Yeson Landero on it. Why? Why do you do that?
Yeah, it's important to have diversity in music, I think. And what's nice about our festival, and I think our fans have come to appreciate this, is they trust our booking, and certainly they're going to come because they know every single line to Sarah Evans songs, right, from the 90s and the wonderful Ricky Skaggs that we just got to visit with. But then it's really fun to throw in new singers, songwriters, or some international music, or some blues and stuff that folks might not know that well, and they always leave really excited about discovering new music at Red Ants Pants Fest.
So yeah.
That's a fun one too.
Yeah. Friday night, Brandi Clark, Shiny Ribs. I was not quite up to speed on who they were, a high energy Texas roots favorite, kind of funky, but still very country. It's really interesting. That's on Friday night. We talked about Saturday's lineup as well. Molly Tuttle will be Saturday at 10 p.m. Old 97s will play something from them. This group, too, Thunderstorm Artists, that's and Sunday, by the way, starts early, right? It kind of gets over early because, well, people need to go home and they need to, you know, return the cow pasture back for the cows. But 12 o'clock for Sunday's start. And usually it's then 3 o'clock on Saturday and about the same on Friday, too. Good job on all that. Let's kind of switch gears a little bit because I want to get up to date on the clothing company. As we talk about this being a Montana success story and how things have turned into the music festival and that foundation, which is doing so much work, how's the clothing company doing?
You know, it's doing really well right now. I was very excited to bring on a CEO a couple years ago, so Stephanie Cole out of Bozeman is now running the show, and I get to take a little bit of a back seat and get out of the day-to-day work on that side of the enterprise, which is fantastic. So we are growing and expanding, and we have 4,000 pairs of pants coming in this summer of our new colors in our GSD pant, which is a lighter weight work pant. So good for these summer months, and lots of new inventory. We're working on a canvas vest that's coming out soon as well, and got some overalls in development. So lots of new products and colorways, and excited to have folks check them out at the festival too. We have a tent on site, so we're a vendor there as well.
Yeah, that's good. This is mostly direct to consumers, the sale?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. We only sell direct to consumers. So you can find us online at redantspants.com or at our international headquarters right here in White Sulphur Springs.
That was pretty brave back when you first started this company, to just go direct online.
Yeah. I think it was a little bit ahead of the curve perhaps back then in 2006. But, you know, they used to say retail was location, location, location. And, you know, being in the middle of, we like to say White Sulphur's in the middle of everywhere, even though it is about 100 miles from any other larger town. But it's a good place to be.
Yeah, it is. Any place in Montana, though, for that matter. So what are women looking for when it comes to work pants and work clothing? Are you still going to stay with the work, or you're going to make work pants fashionable, or are you thinking about introducing other lines?
Yeah. Well, I think we always, we're aiming to stay true to our core customer in the sense that we really need women's pants that fit well, because then they're going to function well. And as you know, women come in all sorts of beautiful shapes and sizes, and that are quite curvier often and have more hips and thighs and butts and that sort of thing than a square, straight men's pant. That was what we always used to have to wear. And this is, you know, a heavier duty canvas than just denim. So at the time when I started the company, there was nothing on the market literally for women's workwear. So this is really exciting to see not only a trend in other companies jumping on board with this, but there are so many more women working now and women getting into non-traditional trade jobs and needing appropriate gear that fits well.
Yeah. And it seems like a natural progression from, you know, where you started, getting that clothing company up, focusing on women, to then creating this foundation, the Red Ants Pants Foundation, that, as you noted, it does community grants, but there's a lot of encouragement and training for women in agriculture. I want to ask why that's important, but I kind of want to get deeper. You know, why is that important to you? Or do you feel like rural America is threatened? Do you see women, again, maybe, I don't want to use the word oppressed, but maybe that's what it is in circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of our programs are really focused on certainly empowerment when it comes down to it. I think obviously our girls' leadership and really training leadership skills for girls and women across rural Montana, and getting some hard skills and soft skills on board. You know, understanding our own leadership styles and how we communicate with others, and you know, typical leadership skills, which is really, really empowering and worthwhile across the board. But also we have our work skills courses. So these are actual hard skills, like learning how to run a chainsaw and carpentry skills and come learn a table saw, and also trailer backing and some of these things that are traditionally a little bit more intimidating perhaps, because with these big power tools, or there's just not an opportunity and a place to learn them. And so having a chance to bring women together to teach these skills, and then they get to connect with one another, and it's really pretty awesome. And then our other course, our Women in Ag Community Wellbeing Retreats, is a chance to, again, bring people together. We definitely focus on connecting people to just do some reflection and discussion, because it can be isolating, certainly in some of our rural communities when we're out there working on the farm, to not have a lot of people to talk to necessarily all the time. So wanting to make sure we're staying connected.
How are they all doing? How are we all doing in rural America? Are we running ahead? Are we running even? Are we running behind?
It's a good question. And I only have my vantage point from, mm-hmm. you know, where I live in Marr County. Personally, it seems like things are running ahead and getting a lot more momentum and enthusiasm, and we're seeing a lot of growth in Marr County, certainly. But some of the participants we see across from rural Montana, it can be hard out in these isolated places for sure. Again, like we were chatting about before, I think there's so much potential for small town entrepreneurship, and obviously the agricultural community, and getting more young people moving back into these towns to take their own leadership roles and keep things going strong.
How does education play a part in that?
It's a big piece. And like with our leadership programming, we designed this program to be a free year-long course for rural girls, so that because there aren't these sort of programs out there like there are in, you know, Bozeman or Helena or Billings. They have, you know, urban centers with more resources, and so we're really trying to reached out to support the other wonderful programs like 4-H and FFA, and there's some school-based programs that are teaching some stuff, but we wanted to go a little bit deeper and diving into these leadership skills that are, once you get education on the ground, people can, the sky is really the limit, but we gotta be able to get the teaching out there.
What's the 30-second answer on what makes a good leader?
Oh, man. I think
take a minute if you want. Go ahead. You know.
Yeah. No, I think self-awareness is a really big component of good leadership, and understanding yourself and how you are in the world, how you communicate with your team and the people you're leading. So that awareness piece and really strong communication is a big one.
This is the song of lime juice and despair. Shiny Ribs, right? High energy Texas roots. They're one of the headliners as well. 10 o'clock Friday night. They'll follow Brandi Clark at the Red Ants Pants Music Festival. We're talking with Sarah Calhoun, founder of the Red Ants Pants Clothing Company, the festival as well as the foundation. Covered a lot of that. And I was really glad, Sarah, to have you on with Ricky. And big thanks to Kathy Weber, your colleague, for getting that set up as well. Let's go into this lineup. We kind of talked about it a little bit. There's just a lot of energy, it seems like. Describe 2026 lineup, Sarah.
Yes, a lot of energy for sure. And some bluegrass legends as well as Americana. That guy, Shiny Ribs, you were just playing, he is absolutely fantastic. He's actually a repeat artist because he's so good. He comes up from Austin, Texas, and I think last time he played 10 years ago, he had a full Congo line out in the crowd while wearing Red Ants pants. He's just a hoot. And he is going to be emceeing our yodeling contest this year. We're bringing that back, which is so much fun, on Friday at 1:30. And then other bands on Friday, also an amazing up-and-comer singer-songwriter, Cherokee gal, Ken Pomeroy, is playing Friday evening, and she is not to be missed. She's one I'm really excited about.
Nice. 5 o'clock. All right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other things going on. You talked about a yodeling contest. It's a family event, right?
It sure is. Yes. Kids 12 and under are free for both camping and the music all weekend. So we really try to encourage families to come. We have a kids tent with lots of activities going on throughout the whole weekend that is all free. And we have a demonstration area between the main acts. So we profile different ag and work skills. So anything from driving a team of horses to mule packing and meat processing, crosscut saw competitions, historic window preservation, lots of fun stuff over there. So in addition to all the food and craft vendors, so there's really a lot going on and something for everyone.
So what time does it usually, kind of get busy there? Or what time do the festival grounds open?
Yes. So this year, to celebrate our 15th anniversary of the festival, we are opening the campground a day early. So things actually kick off on Wednesday evening at about 4 o'clock. We're going to open the campground, and we do have some programming for some music and jam sessions in the campground that night. Then all day Thursday, folks will be rolling in from across the state to the campground. We have a trailer backing class and some camp games and awards, and then a film fest downtown, a grantee panel from all of our other rural community partners. And that leads into the street dance. And then the festival grounds open Friday at 1 p.m.
Tickets still available? What are we... I think you mentioned it's pretty affordable too, right?
Yes, it sure is. We try to keep it really accessible for everyone. So an entire weekend pass is $205. A day pass is $90 and camping is $55. So it's really, we're encouraging folks to have a staycation this summer and travel over on hopefully just one tank of gas to get here. We're in the middle of the state in Marr County. So it is definitely still available. Tickets will be available also at the gate for a slightly increased price. So we encourage folks to buy ahead at redantspantsmusicfestival.com.
Little Molly Tuttle, right? As we head on out here. Yeah. Good job this year, Sarah. And thanks for coming on. I appreciate that. It's always fun to talk about it and getting Ricky on. And you know what? It's over before you know it. And then you're planning for 2027.
Exactly.
Thanks for all the work
you
do.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good job.
You bet.
Sarah Calhoun once again with the Red Ants Pants Clothing Foundation and the Music Festival, July 23rd to the 26th. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.